There was an older gentleman. An older gentleman was getting ready for Christmas. And as he got ready for Christmas, he wondered what to do with his 17 grandchildren. He thought, oh, I do not have the energy or the desire to go and buy what they individually want. So I'm going to write some checks. So he sat down at his office, at his desk, and he started writing these checks out. And he was more generous than he'd been in other years, and he wrote 17 checks to his grandchildren and getting ready to send them. He then got the cards out, 17 cards, filled out the cards. He was a man of few words, so he said, Merry Christmas, Grandpa. Now go buy your own gift. And took the cards and sent them to the family. Sent to the family, and then a week later when they got together for Christmas, all his grandchildren around him, his children around him, and his grandchildren were just a little aloof, just a little distant. Wasn't sure what was up, and it kind of bothered him that here he was, the patriarch of the family, and they were just kind of ignoring him. So he thought about this through into the New Year's and into January. In February, he was cleaning up out his desk and getting ready for tax season, and he moved a pile of newspapers, and he found 17 checks made out to his grandchildren. And he thought of the cards. Merry Christmas, Grandpa. Now go buy your own gifts. I thought about that story when I read it this week, and thought about Christmas experiences, maybe part of your Christmas celebrations in which you watch Christmas Carol, or some form of a Christmas Carol, some of the movies. And, of course, the character from A Christmas Carol, Scrooge. The older gentleman that had lots of money and lots of power and had very little friendships and very little love. And the four ghosts that came to him at night. And the first ghost, Marley, his business partner, that said, you're going to be visited by three more ghosts tonight. And it's going to be the ghost of Christmas past and the ghost of Christmas present and the ghost of Christmas future. And as the three ghosts came to this miserable man, reminding him of his poverty, reminding him of the hatred that he had towards people, reminding him of all the tragic parts of his life, he changed. He began to change. I realized that as Scrooge was challenged in his failings and his poverty, it reminded me of some of the Christmas dynamics that I've experienced and that you have experienced and that you will. You see, in the next month, you will experience disappointments. You'll experience failures of people around you. You may not get the exact gift that you want. And because there's a child within each one of us, we may feel a little tears, a little upset, when we don't get what we want. But Christmas is about that, as we connect with our families and as we go through the emotions of trying to find a parking lot in the mall, trying to get in line to buy that gift, going through the frustrations of Christmas and dealing with those frustrations, expectations that we have, disappointments, the highs and lows of our emotions. Yeah, Christmas has a dark side, the darkness of the season. And I really want for you to have a Merry Christmas. I really want for you to experience the joy of the season. I want that for you. I want for you to be able to take your time with this season and mine out God's love and to have a happy, joyous time. Thinking about those things, I realize that for us really to have a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, to have a good season in which we express love and gift-giving and spending time with each other and expressing acts of service and embrace of one another, as we express love to each other, we have to go deeper in order to really get a hold of this thing called Christmas. We really have to dig deeper. As I've thought about this over this last week, I've realized in my own search, the disappointments that I've had at various Christmas, the time Christmas in which you've experienced perhaps as well, in which you've been sick and missed that taste of turkey dinner with gravy. Think, what, this isn't Christmas? As I've thought about those realities, I've realized that Christmas, although it's a date and it's an occasion. It's an opportunities for love for your family and gift giving and quality time spent with each other and words of encouragement and embrace. Through all these things, that's not its heart. And if you just focus on the things around us, the peripherals of Christmas, it could very well be devoid of meaning for you. And you could be empty as well, too, on January the 1st or 2nd, saying, what was it all about? So I want us to dig deeper. And I want us to dig into understanding what Christmas is all about. And as I thought to seek that this week, I realized that although Christmas is all these things that we celebrate, Christmas is actually a person. It's a person. Now, I know you may say, well, Ken, that's not grammatically correct to say Christmas is a person. When I think through all the dynamics and begin to get a hold of what this thing is we call Christmas, it's a person. It really has more dynamics of being a person than it is an event. And that's why I want to pursue Christmas personified. Digging in to understand this sense of Christmas as a person. So we have a couple of helps that we wanted to share with you as you seek to also track with us as well, as you have various events too. First of all, let me just share that the Canadian Baptists of Ontario and Quebec have produced an event Advent guide. This is what it looks like. If you want to come and take this one, that's fine. But you can also order one of these, or you can get the electronic version and go online to CBOQ Advent Guide and have something sent to you every day. And it's actually written by the youth of our convention. In fact, one of them is by, Tristan Kenny. The youth of our denomination, including those that live overseas, have written this, have been part of writing this. So that's the first thing, is Advent Reader from CBOQ. Second thing is this, called Christmas Day by Day. Looks like this, it's at the back. All I've simply done here is I've taken all of the Christmas sections of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and put together it chronologically. So if you want to track the Christmas story chronologically, take one of these and read through it day by day or once a day, and you'll seek to understand better the chronology of Jesus' birth. So you can take that as well, too. But let's dig in. How do we really pursue Christmas personified? What am I talking about today? Can't we just celebrate all the peripherals of Christmas? No, you're not actually celebrating Christmas if you miss out on the person. It's an event. It's a year-end event. It's a time to get together. But to celebrate Christmas, it's a person. And as we pursue this, I wanted to dig deep and go into our past. So to start at the beginning is way back, way, way, way back, at the beginnings of humanity. You see, at the beginning of humanity, it says in Genesis 4, we began to call out in the name of the Lord. We began to pray and praise Him. You see, humanity has always had a problem. And the problem is this, well, after chapter 3, and humanity's problem is this, you and I don't have it all. We don't have enough. And so from the beginnings of time, people have said, you guys don't satisfy it. Who can satisfy this need? And they've looked up to heaven and they've asked God all throughout almost all cultures of the world. From our beginnings, we have had fear and lack and need and dependence and desire. And all of this has been unsatisfied. So we've looked up and we've said, help us, please. We need this. We need help. And we've asked and thanked and yearned and asked and thanked and yearned multiple times over and over again since the beginning. If you can imagine the prayers that have been prayed since the beginning of time, how vast they are. Imagine them. Prayers like, keep me safe, provide, rescue me, feed me, heal me, give me a spouse, children, crops, rain, sun, a job, a purpose. Please, I need it, and these people aren't giving it. Someone's got to help me. We've asked and we've yearned and we thanked because it was given to us. If it wasn't given to us, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't exist. Something satisfied those greatest needs of ourselves. And ask any scientist and you realize we did not do it ourselves. How do we do it? Well, we asked God. And God listened. And God heard the deepest cry of our hearts. He has heard the deepest cry of your heart. And He's responded to your I need help. SOS, save our souls. I'm not going to make it without some help. You exist today here because God satisfied those needs. Help came. We asked over and over and over again. Think of just compiling together all the prayers that you've prayed in your life, from your heart, from your mouth. Think of all those prayers. Now go back and count how many of them were satisfied. Not necessarily satisfied in the way that you wanted them to be satisfied, but that you're still here, and those things that you wanted are no longer a concern for you. Are you still praying for breakfast from 10 years ago? No. Provided. Help came. And over time, this help that came, people began to realize a concept called anointing. And anointing was the concept of people. Someone in our community has got to be able to get a hold of God. Someone here has got to be able to stand up and say, please, God help, and the rains come. And so the concept of anointing all across almost every culture of the world has put someone in the place of saying, you're anointed by our oil, like we choose you and we put oil upon you and say, you're anointed to speak on our behalf to God. And through the Holy Spirit, where someone was supernaturally gifted to pray, to express people's desires, and to receive. So the concept of anointing came really early. It's a special relationship with God. A person who had more questions answered than others. Happened through all cultures. And it came about in various functions and various roles. People sometimes think of Saul, the first king of Israel. He didn't want to be anointed. And he was anointed and became the first king. All throughout the Bible, we talk about of anointing. But throughout that, there was three functions that came about that were specific in anointing. So in the Bible, you can see three Mashiachs. What's Mashiach? Messiah. What's Messiah? Christ. What are we celebrating? Christmas. We're celebrating Mashiach Mass, the Anointed One Mass. But when we started off in the and sought God's answers to our questions, God's delight, God's provision for us, and we had the concept of Mashiach, someone in our midst who can please stand up and tell God we need rain. The Anointed One. Anointed ones were all throughout the Bible. Messiahs were throughout the Bible. But the three roles specifically that came about was the prophet Messiah. A prophet is a person who hears from God and says things to the people. There'll be no rain this year. It's coming next year. That's what a prophet would say. There was prophet Messiahs, prophet Mashiachs, who spoke God's words. But then came about the priest Mashiachs. The priest messiahs were the people who heard all of what was going on in your lives and what was going on and pleaded with God, asked for God's forgiveness, said, please, God, and expressed what you desired back to God. That was the priest messiah. The third one was the king messiah. The king messiah was a person who would take the group effect of all the people and balance off what God asks us to do and what we're doing and enforce it. Kind of a triangular role. God's word to us. Our word through the king, back to God. And your existence here today proves that God answered some prayers. That we prayed prayers back to God, and that we were also corrected at times. Because if you're praying to God, you don't get your will satisfied more than His will is satisfied. His will is for you to prosper. His will is for you to do well. But what frustrates me is God doesn't do what I want. That's because He's God. But He does love me, otherwise I wouldn't be here. So, we have these three roles, but it was the prophet messiahs that came about with something special. The prophet messiahs came up and heard from God about the anointed one. Different from people, those of us from time to time that took on the roles of prophet and priest and king, kept rotating back and forth over time. Prophet said there'll be one. Mind-blowing concept. One person will represent all humanity and speak God's word to you and be a king. So the concept came about through the prophets that many people around them thought they were just crazy to say this. This Messiah came up. Sometimes hard for me to appreciate this role. I've been profitable, though rarely prophetic, I have been pedantic and I'm often pathetic. There is these things that we experience in our society, but of the three concepts, let me just give you some time frames. The one anointed Messiah came 4,000 years ago and was spoken through Abraham and the priest Melchizedek, a priest anointed one. A prophet Messiah, Moses heard about, and he spoke about the anointed one, better than himself, who's the ultimate prophet. Moses was. And David is given the promise that, this is 3,000 years ago, David's given the promise that he himself would be the one who would from his line would come the King Messiah. So we have this concept that's developed by the prophets, given to them by God, of the great Messiah to come. What does this look like? Well, from Amos, 760 B.C., through Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel to Zechariah, 250 years later, the concept of the one Messiah to come, the one Christ to come, was fleshed out, if you will. The one Messiah, the one Christ, God's anointed special one, was divine, royal, a prophet, a priest, a shepherd, a son of man, a servant to everyone to redeem everything. Sorry, did you get that? A royal, a prophet, priest, king, servant, son of all, a representative of all of us that would redeem every one of us and everything on earth. No wonder they thought the prophets were a little off. One person? One person's going to do all this. One person's going to come. The great Messiah was to come. So in particular in Isaiah, if you want to read along with me, you're welcome to do so. Prophet Isaiah says for this, "For to us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Do you hear in this text that God would send a prophet, and he would be a priest to the people, and he would be a king of all? Do you hear that? This is craziness for Isaiah to write this to his people. One person's going to do all this? But then he goes on two chapters later and says this. You can read as well if you'd like. "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist." The great prophet and priest and king was one person. And that one person would have no end to his kingdom. He would come from David. And you can see how that he judges with righteousness. What's that? God's power. He judges with righteousness, and he doesn't need to pick up a sword at all. Just needs to speak. Whoa. Whoa. This is some powerful guy. The great Messiah, the Christ, he was not sent. He did not come to set a date for a celebration. He didn't establish a feast. He didn't gather families. He was not primarily here to encourage, to give to each other or judge our moral deeds. He didn't come to tell us to be good, primarily. God's anointed one, the Christ of Christmas, came to defeat evil. He came to rule with absolute authority over all human beings. He came as one who would give us our greatest needs. This is the one sent by God to answer all of our prayers. And he came. It blows my mind. We've been praying. We've been asking God. We've been pleading to the skies for our lives for thousands of years. Crying out, I need this. I'll never survive. And God said, okay, I'll come. I'll come. I've been answering your questions. I've been satisfying your needs. I've been providing for you all over the earth. But I'm coming. And I'm coming to answer you. But I'm coming with my answer. No wonder when he came, people said, sorry. Can you send someone else? Because he's not satisfying us the way we wanted to. Are we the gods of our lives? Don't we get to decide? Now that he's here, can't we tell him to make bread out of nothing every day of the week so we can just sit on the shores and learn? No. It's still God's will. For hundreds of years, God heard our cries, and then he came. Daniel sees something that we still have yet to see. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, humanity's representative, he's saying. Coming with the clouds of heaven, he approached the Ancient of Days, that's God, and was led into his presence. He's righteous enough to go into God's presence and not die. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. How could it be destroyed? He's coming from God. And he's here right now. He said he would never leave us or forsake us. And he said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there. I confess that I don't live it out as a pastor that God is here now. I don't acknowledge that all the time, that Jesus Christ is present with us. Here's everything. Here's every thoughts of our heart, every concern. And that's Christmas personified. He's Christmas. He's here. He hears your cries. He knows your heart. He knows your praise and thanksgiving for things that when you and I are willing to say, thank you, God, you did that which I yearned for, and thank you. You did it your way. You didn't do it in the time that I wanted to. You did it earlier. You did it later. You did it in your way, but thank you. I wouldn't be here without you. He hears our cries. You learn more about his character by reading this. The times in my life in which I've wondered what God thinks, I hear the Holy Spirit say, right here, get to know me. And as you get to know me, you'll hear my voice. Perhaps like a prophet, perhaps like a priest, perhaps like a king. And you stay vibrant in your faith by being close to the people you're with right now. I don't know. For me, anyways, I find that the longer I stay away from the church, the cooler I get towards what God's doing in the world, the less interested I am in others. But you warm me up. You make me think more about what God is like and how he loves each other. He hears every cry you have, and he's committed to destroying evil, even the evil in my heart. He's going to do it. You know, at the end of A Christmas Carol, we read this postscript. Scrooge became as good a friend, a good a master, a good a man as the good old city knew, or any good old city, town, or borough in the good old world. It was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well, if any man alive possessed the knowledge. May that be truly said of us and all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone. Christmas is a person. He came to rule. His rule lightens us, he connects us with each other, he equips us to lead lives of goodness and of celebration. We keep Christmas well when our lives are entwined with the one who is Christmas, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's Christmas personified. To Him be the glory and peace to each one of us.